Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope is a place to receive an encouraging word from the Lord. And I want to encourage you to invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday. And also to go to my Facebook page, The Voice of Hope Today, and listen to my messages on there. Or you can go to YouTube at The Voice of Hope Today and watch my messages on YouTube. And I give those messages every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday around 7 o'clock in Kenya and Uganda. God has anointed me to teach the Word, and I want to always bring a word of encouragement and instruction to you how to walk in the blessings of God and how to overcome in your life. And so today I want to talk about the God of the impossible. And many of us are facing what seems like impossible situations, very difficult and challenging situations. Sometimes we wonder if there's any way out of the situation we find ourselves in, whether it's with health issues, need healing, or financial issues, or whatever it is that you're facing today. I want to encourage you that we serve a God who is able to do what is impossible for us to do. And I want to look at some scripture verse to help us, give us instruction on how to receive the impossible from God, and also to give you faith to receive the impossible from God. So Lord God, we just pray that you'll anoint your word today by your Spirit to encourage every person to listen to the Voice of Hope, Lord God. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first verse I want to look at, and you may want to get a piece of paper and write these scripture verses down, and you can look at them later and study them later. But the first one we look at is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So Paul says, now to him, he's referring to God, to him who is able. We need to understand God is able. No matter what problem you face, God is able. So Paul is praying to the one who is able. God is able. And Paul is writing to people who are being persecuted, people who are being killed for the gospel, people who are going through very difficult and challenging times. And he says, I want to tell you now, and I'm praying to the God who is able to meet your need. So now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. So God wants to do something greater than we can ask or think. See, we can't really think like God thinks. We see things from our perspective. We see things from our understanding. And sometimes our view is small because we just see small. And we don't understand the greatness of our God who is able. But also the importance is God doesn't have to do what we ask or think. God wants to do what he wants to do. We need to get the mind of God in what he wants to do. See, it's greater than what we could ask or think. We may ask for one thing, but God may have something else greater or something else different than what we ask for. So he said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so the ability to receive from God comes from the power that dwells in us who are born again. If you're not a born-again Christian, accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again, Paul told Nicodemus in chapter 3, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born of the Spirit. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you become born again. The Spirit of God comes and lives in you. No matter what kind of a job you have, house you have, no matter what you have, that's not important. God Almighty, by his Spirit, comes and lives in you. So what God does, he doesn't do by your power. He does by the power, his power, that lives in you by the Holy Spirit. So these things that God wants to do that are abundant and great, that are greater than what we could ask or think, can only be done not by our power, but by the power of God or the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And then verse 21 says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. So the purpose why God does things is to bring him glory and to bring glory to the church. The church is not a building. The church are the people of God. So God wants to bring glory to his church. God does the impossible. God does what is greater than we can ask or think by the power that's in us, by the Holy Spirit, because he wants to receive the glory. See, if it's something we can do ourselves, then we take the glory. No, it's got to be something greater than we can do ourselves. God wants to do the impossible in our life, so he receives glory. See, Jesus' whole purpose in life was to glorify the Father. He said, everything I say and do has one purpose, and that is to glorify my Father. Jesus didn't do it to become big or wealthy or important. No, Jesus walked very humbly. But he walked with great authority and power because his desire was to glorify the Father. See, and God just doesn't meet our needs just to satisfy our desires. No, he meets our needs because he wants to be glorified. And so Jesus loved healing the sick because every time he would heal a blind man or a lame man or cast out a demon, God would get glorified. And so Jesus came unto everything with one purpose, and that was to glorify the Father. Not to meet his need, not to be important. Jesus didn't have a fine house or a fine car. He didn't have a house or a car or anything. He just had the clothes on his back. He lived very simply, but he lived with great authority because he lived for one purpose, and that was to glorify God. So God wants to do exceedingly above what we ask or think by the power in us to give glory to God in the church. So God wants to be glorified by his church. God wants to be glorified by his people. So God uses his people to bring him glory, not just to satisfy our needs. Now, we all have needs. We're facing challenges, but we need to change the way we look at things. We need to see, well, God wants to use us by the power in us to glorify him. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So Paul says, your eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for who? For people who love him. See, our passion and desire should not be for things or greatness or importance or money. Our passion and desire should be for Jesus Christ, for God. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with God. Our purpose in life is to love God. God wants to do the impossible exceedingly abundantly, things we haven't even seen or heard. We haven't even imagined God wants to do for us if we love him. Then if that happens, verse 10 says, but God reveals to us those things by his Holy Spirit. So you see, the way God works is God wants to do the impossible. He wants, no matter who you are, you don't need to be a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist. You can just be a regular, normal Christian. You can just live in a mud house with a thatch roof. You can be whatever work you're doing is okay. But God wants to be glorified in you if you love him. And it's not to do your will. It's not to do what you want, but it's to do what he wants. So when you go through life and you're facing challenges, a lot of times we spend all our time crying out to God, God, deliver me from this challenge. Heal me of my sickness. Meet my need. Whatever our prayers. And we just pray and cry out to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what we need to do is we need to say, God, what do you want me to do to glorify your name? See, our purpose is to glorify God. And you see, God wants to reveal things to us that we can't even ask or think. Things that we can't even imagine, God wants to reveal to us. God wants to do something that you haven't even thought about in order that His name be glorified. See, we have our plans. We say, well, if I do this and do that, then this will happen. You know, if I go here or go there, then this person will meet my need. See, those are all our plans. See, God doesn't work according to those plans. We look to people sometimes. We look to situations. We look to everything else, but we don't look to God. We pray to God, God, meet my need. God, heal me, God. But then we look all over the place for answers. No, we don't look to other place for answers. We see God. You see, God wants to speak to you by His Holy Spirit. God wants to reveal His plan, His purposes, and His idea by His Holy Spirit. So our heart's desire should be to after God, to love God, and ask God, what do you want me to do? And then as we do the will of God, God will meet our need. God will do the supernatural that we cannot do. And He may not do it in the same way we want it done. He may do it in a totally different way. But our heart desire must be after Him. A scripture verse many of us know well is Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. This is David writing. He said, "Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly." So this is a person who's not seeking counsel from the world. See, oftentimes we seek counsel from the world. We go to the world to find our answers. No, don't go to the world to find your answers. Go to the Word of God to find your answers. Go to God to find your answers. Ask the Holy Spirit what you should do. Don't seek the counsel of the world. If you're going to seek counsel of some godly people, people who are really serving God with all their heart, people who know how to walk in the Spirit, seek their counsel. Don't seek the counsel of the world. So he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the world or the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. That means this person doesn't spend all his time with sinners. People who are walking in sin, willfully walking in sin. That doesn't mean we condemn them, but we don't spend all our time with them. What happens if you spend all your time with sinners, you begin to do the same things they do. Because if I see someone's friends, I know what that person's like because we become like our friends. And if your friends are non-Christians, ungodly people, people who are compromising themselves, people who are not walking in the way God wants them to, that tempts us to do the same thing. So we can't go and seek counsel from the ungodly. We can't walk with sinners. And the third one, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Scornful people are people who laugh and make fun of other people. They're people who criticize other people. See, and there's a lot of people out there criticizing other people. No, we're not to criticize other people. We're to lift up other people. We're to encourage other people. You know, there's a lot of people out there complaining about this, complaining about that, criticizing this. No. He says, we don't sit with those people. We don't sit around and talk about all the problems in the world. We don't sit around and criticize this person, that person, or something else. No, we don't sit with those people. Because you see, if you sit with those people, you're not going to be blessed. Because you're not going to hear the Spirit of God when you take counsel from ungodly. You're not going to hear the Spirit of God when you walk with sinners. You're not going to hear the Spirit of God when you sit with people who criticize and grumble and complain and all that. You're not going to hear God's voice. You're going to hear the world's voice, and you're going to think the world's way, and you're going to do things the world's way. David said, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. You could say who delights in the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. David loved the Word of God. And in His law, he meditates day and night. And in the Word of God, he meditates day and night. See, when you spend time in the Word, you say, well, I don't understand the Word. No, you don't spend enough time in the Word to understand the Word. And so what you do is you just start taking time and just reading a little portion of the Scripture. Start in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. and just read about Jesus and disciples and think about how they did things, what they did, and how they respond to things. Because the more time you spend in the Word, the more time you'll understand God, the more time, more you'll understand how God works. Read the book of Acts. See how they acted in the early church by the power of God and energy. What did they do? How did they do things? You know, I could spend tons of time talking about those things because we need to spend time meditating in the Word of God, thinking about the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to change us. So just take, you don't have to read lots of, just read a few scriptures and say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what you want to speak to me. Help me to understand, because you see, we need a revelation of God, because we don't want to do things the world's way, our way. We want to do things God's way. When you do things God's way, then God, who is able, will meet our need and do what he wants to do. So he said, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in the law or the word of God he meditates day and night. And he said, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So this is the person who doesn't spend time with the ungodly and sinners and people who are criticizing and grumbling and complaining. But he spends time seeking God in God's word, meditating on God, meditating on the goodness of God. And as he does that, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to him. He begins to see things in the word. The Holy Spirit begins to quicken things in his life. This is for everybody. This is for you. This is how God brings change in our life, in our family, in our society. And he said, that person is like a tree planted by rivers of water. Water brings life. Jesus said, he is the water of life. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you're thirsty, I am the living water. We get life out of Jesus. So if you're planted in Jesus, your life is in Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. You're here to lift up the name of Jesus. You're seeking the will of Jesus. Jesus is the center of your life. That person is planted by the rivers of water because Jesus is living water. That person will bring fruit in his season. See, there's a season for fruit bearing. There's seasons where we're not bearing fruit, but there's seasons we bear fruit. And so sometimes we go through a tough season in our life. Don't worry. If you'll stay in Jesus, stay in the Word, listen to the Holy Spirit, Jesus will help you through the hard time so that when season comes for you to bear fruit, you will bear fruit. You don't expect a mango tree to produce mangoes when it's not the mango season. No, it produces mangoes when the mango season comes around. And so we even though we're going through hard times, we stay focused on Jesus. Our heart is after Jesus. We spend time meditating on the Word, and we focus on him and our love relationship with him. We listen to the Holy Spirit. And then in season, we will produce fruit. And our leaf will never wither. In other words, God, even between seasons, our leaf won't wither. In other words, God will keep us even during the hard times. God doesn't say you're never going to have hard times. No, we have hard times. But God will keep us during the hard times until our season comes. But when we're going through the hard times, don't be negative and down and discouraged and grumble and complain and hang around with sinners and people who criticize and people who are not following God. No, when you're going through the hard time, continue to focus on Jesus. Continue to trust in Jesus. Continue to get in the Word. Continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you do, he will sustain you and keep you during the hard time until it's your season to produce fruit. And those kinds of people will prosper in everything they do. See, we are all going through challenging times. Everyone's going through challenges, some more than others. But God wants to do something different in us. We who are born again Christians, we who are believers, we who have this believe in Jesus Christ, we who believe in God, the God who is able to do far above all we ask or think, we who put our faith in him. See, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing God. And how do we learn to hear God? We learn to hear God by the word of God. So the more time you spend in the Word, the more your faith will grow. And then as your faith grows, you'll begin to hear God. See, people who don't spend any time in the Word, they think like the world. They act like the world. And they cry out to God for help, and God doesn't answer their prayer because they aren't walking in a way that's pleasing to God. And God wants them to get into the Word of God. You know, sometimes I find people who are going through problems, they work harder and pray harder, and they're so busy they don't have time for God. No, when you're going through a hard time, get into the Word of God, because get into Jesus. Increase your relationship with Him, because He wants to produce something in your life through the hard time. He will sustain you until the season of fruit bearing comes in your life. So spend time in the Word. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Important to understand that our purpose is to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our desire is to please God. We have faith to please God. We don't want to please ourselves. We don't want to please our neighbor. We want to please God. And we need to believe in God, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, it doesn't say He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek for money, or diligently seek for healing, or diligently seek for something else. No, it's people who diligently seek for Him, because He is the one who is able to do far above what we can ask or think. So our faith is faith for the impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, but comes to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. God is wanting to do something in your life. God wanted to supply your need, but you need to come into a place where our God who is able to will do it in your life. I love Psalm 37:3-4. Psalm 37:3-4. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." What? As you trust in the Lord, what are you going to do? You're going to do good. "Dwell in the land and on His feed on His faithfulness." Dwell in the land. The land is where God has put you. It's not, you know, sometimes we look at other people, we want what they want. Or we think, well, if I had the money, or if I had their job, or if I had their house, No, that's coveting. God does not reward coveting. Coveting is, the Bible says, coveting is idolatry. No, God wants you to dwell with contentment in the land He has given to you. So He says, "Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." Whose faithfulness? God's faithfulness. So you dwell with contentment where you are with God, because your trust and faith is in God, and you feed on His faithfulness. Then verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." Delight means He is the most important person to you. Delight is something that makes you happy. Your delight is not in your food. Your delight is not in your money. Your delight is not in your job or position. Your delight is in the Lord. You love the Lord no matter what is going on in your life. You are in love with God. God is the center. Jesus is the center of your life. And when Jesus says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Hallelujah. God wants to do something special in you today. But we have to have a heart after God. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to get into the Word. We need to walk in faith. And I want to close with this scripture verse from Hebrews 11:8-12. Hebrews 11:8-12. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. For he waited for a city whose foundation and builder and maker is God." So you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And by faith, Abraham obeyed. See, The way this works is that as you spend time in the Word and spend time with God, not seeking for what you want, but spend time with God, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. And the Holy Spirit will begin to tell you some things He wants you to do. See, it's when God spoke to Abraham, God said, Abraham, I need you to leave your people and your country and go to a land you do not know. And so Abraham obeyed God, and he left everything he knew, and he went to a land he didn't know, a land of promise. See, God gives us promises, but if we put our trust in the world and what we have, we can't walk into the promise. See, you can't put your trust in people and money and other things and put your trust in God, too. No, you have to let that down. Abraham laid down, gave up, left what he put his trust in, and that was his country and his own people. And he went on a journey into the land of promise, into what God had promised. God said, if you'll leave your country and go into the land I give you, I will give you the land, I will bless you and make you a blessing, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it says he dwelt in the land of promise, but his focus was on a city and foundation whose builder is God. So he dwelt in the promised land, but his expectation was in God and what God wanted to do, not in the promise. Go down to verse 11, which is very good. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, there was born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is on the seashore. See, it says, by faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed. See, God wants to make you pregnant with the impossible. God wants to build in you. You know, when a woman becomes pregnant, she begins to grow. That child begins to grow. That child becomes more and more of a part of her life until she gives birth. You know, God wants to speak to you. God wants to make you pregnant with His Word, with something that's far beyond what you can ask or think, with something the impossible. And Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. See, she didn't focus on what God promised her, but she focused on God's faithfulness who had promised. And God did the impossible in her life. A barren woman, old woman now, in her 90s, and she gives birth to a child. Abraham, in 100 years old, and they have their first child. And they went on a journey to receive this child that God had promised. See, we are on a journey. And at times, it's difficult. At times, it's hard. But we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. If you're listening to the Voice of Hope today and you're not a believer, you haven't really given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to give your life totally to Jesus Christ today. Just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I confess my sins before you, and today I choose to turn away from my old life and my sinful ways, and I choose to follow you. I give my life to you today. If you've prayed this prayer today, Jesus, come into your heart. If you're a believer, commit your life in a greater way to God. God has an answer for your problem and your situation today. Lord God, I just pray for every person. Encourage them by your word today. May faith arise in their heart, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you encourage them through these difficult times, Lord God. And Lord, reveal yourself to them. Reveal your purpose and will to them and do a miracle in their life. Lord, our trust is in you. We love you, Lord God. You are the center of our life. And we give our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to encourage you to invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday. Go to my Facebook page, The Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark, or go to YouTube and at The Voice of Hope Today, and you can listen to my little teachings Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. May you be blessed and have a good week, and I'll join you next Sunday on The Voice of Hope. God bless.